Joining me now from ESPN, we go back to the world of hockey, senior NHL writer. It's been ages. Greg Wyshynski's on the show. Good afternoon, Greg. Thanks for joining.
I think the fact that they haven't dropped, or they haven't gotten longer, rather, those odds for the Broncos is a tribute to Zach Wilson. As a Jets fan, I'm celebrating today. I don't know how much that contract they had to pick up to move him, but the Zach Wilson era is finally over. And listen, you'd figure the Broncos by now would know not to make specious trades for quarterbacks named Wilson, but apparently they never learned their lesson. So congratulations to Denver.
Do you know that Pro Football Focus gave the Jets an A-minus and Mel Kiper gave the Jets an A for their 2021 draft?
Well, you know, I never understood it because the whole thing was at the time their GM watched Zach Wilson play college football and thought that he had Mahomes-esque qualities. And he was playing for BYU. He was beating up teams in the WAC, or whatever. So it's like, you know, how much do you really know about this kid? It's not like he's playing, you know, a grade A Division One, you know, Rose Bowl-esque schedule. So I don't know. It was a learning curve for the kid. I know that he never really, you know, had the proper gestation time because he had to get thrown into the fray so quickly with the Jets. But listen, I watch every Jet game, and this young man was not up to NFL standards, I don't believe.
Nope, and that's good that he's gone. You've got a guy with proper decision-making, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, when it comes to football decisions, hopefully when it comes to off-the-field decisions, I think the jury's out.
Hopefully on and off the field, that man is a straight shooter. Greg, I'm going to do my best to do a Zach Wilson into a Toronto Maple Leafs offense segue. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Zach Wilson, fantastic at BYU, but could not make the transition into the NFL. I think about that same thing when I think about the Maple Leafs, as everyone does. They think about the Leafs and they think about Zach Wilson. The Maple Leafs, every year in the regular season, they got a top two, three, top four offense. But their last 45 playoff games, they're averaging 2.7 goals per game. Their numbers go down, just like Zach Wilson when he's not playing against the WAC. Question for you is there how much concern should Leaf fans have that this team has an incredible regular season offense, but they can't handle the extra pressure, intensity, speed, and scouting that come with the playoffs?
I'm not too concerned because, quite frankly, I don't know. I don't think this is a Toronto problem. I think this is a Boston problem. 22 of those games were against the Boston Bruins. I mean, like, there's a common denominator here. And so maybe in the short term, like, for example, this series, there's reason for concern because obviously things went the way they did in game one. We all know the kind of goaltending the Bruins can throw at you, whether it's Jeremy Swayman or Linus Ullmark. And, you know, I think they could go either way in game two and feel pretty comfortable about it. And then when you combine that with this very mysterious Willie Nylander injury situation where all of a sudden one of the real cogs in your offensive machine comes loose at absolutely the wrong time, I mean, it all adds up to them really, you know, having maybe a larger hill to climb offensively. And again, like, you know, I feel so bad for Leafs fans because it feels like every single postseason, it's what's going to go wrong this time. And this time it's like, you know, arguably the second best scorer on the team this season. Doesn't appear in game one. And if he's in game two, it's going to be with a diminished capacity probably.
It's always a mystery. It's exciting. What's going to be the big thing? I think my concern is even against like Columbus or Montreal and, yeah, a lot of Boston. It always seems like the playoffs start, the scoring goes down. Same thing on the special teams. Is it fair or unfair to say, Greg, for the Maple Leafs to get past Boston, Austin Matthews has to consistently, not for the whole game, but consistently has to be the best player on the ice for this team to beat Boston for the next six games?
Absolutely. I mean, he needs to play at a level that we see other elite players play in playoff games. You know, when you watch an Edmonton game, you see moments in which Connor McDavid takes over. When you watch a Colorado game, it doesn't matter how long you've been watching it for or how often you're glancing at the screen. If you see a comet streaking down the ice with the puck, it's probably Nathan MacKinnon. Like there are players around this league for whom that their teams can rely on to make a play and have a moment and change the momentum in a playoff game or a playoff series. And, you know, again, I don't think Austin Matthews should take the lion's share of criticism for the Leafs' problems in the postseason. But for those who say, you know, where are those moments where you look back at a game and say Austin Matthews is the reason that they won. You know, those are few and far between in the postseason for the Leafs, while they're maybe a bit more commonplace for some of his other peers that are constantly in the MVP conversation.
From ESPN, we're joined by Greg Wyshynski. And yeah, you're right. When you look at the reasons why the Leafs have never gone on a deep playoff run, Matthews is never number one. But when you have that contract, when you're that of an incredible level of talent, it is the burden of talent and expectations, and it happens in every sport when the top star isn't producing what we see in the regular season. Moving away from the Maple Leafs, your takeaway from Winnipeg, Colorado, 7-6. What a joyful game. Six goals in under a 10-minute period. It was 80s hockey last night.
It certainly was. We had Steven Valiquette, who's a goalie analytics guru, on our podcast, The Drop, today. And you can find that anywhere on where you get your podcast. You can find it on YouTube as well if you search NHL and ESPN. And Valiquette, I asked him about Georgiev, the goalie for the Colorado Avalanche, and he knows him well from Georgiev's days at the Rangers, and he said that Georgiev is gassed. We talked about it kind of in comparison to what happened to Jake Ottinger last year with the Dallas Stars, where the Stars had to basically run this guy into the ground in the regular season to finish third in the division, and then by the time he gets to the conference final against Vegas, he's a shell of himself because he's so exhausted. Well, and Georgiev's case, I mean, they had to run him into the ground for most of the season because they didn't really have a dependable veteran option in back of him. And as they get into the postseason, you know, Valiquette said the way that this guy moved in game one was indicative of a goalie who his tank is on empty. And so Colorado, not only in having a goalie that isn't necessarily top tier amongst the playoff contenders, now also has one that might be absolutely exhausted, and I think that was definitely on display in game one. You know, Hellebuck's going to get better. I'm not quite sure if we can say the same thing about Georgiev.
Last question for you, Greg, and I always appreciate when you take the time. By the way, what's the name of that podcast again if people want to hear more of you?
Oh, thank you. It's called The Drop. It's ESPN's hockey podcast. Oh. Me and proud Canadian Arda Okal, who is a Leafs fan through and through.
Big fan.
Trying to help him through it all at this point of the podcast.
No, you're just being mean.
Yeah,
you're being snarky. It's easy. Last question for, and again, go find The Drop wherever quality podcasts are sold. Does Matt Rempe lead the league in most headlines and fewest minutes on the ice?
Without question. But again, like last night was a great example for why, for everybody who you know, carps about the amount of coverage this guy gets and the attention that he receives, commiserate with what he does on the ice. I mean, last night's a great example for why he gets that attention. I mean, it wasn't simply just throwing his body around a bit and throwing a pick on a goal and doing the Matt Rempe things that he does, but he scored a goal last night, and it was a goal that absolutely lit a fire under the Rangers. They scored three times in a span of 2 minutes and 7 seconds because after that Rempe goal, the place was just as loud as you can imagine. And it's because of who scored that goal. I mean, the fans chant his name. He's a cult hero on the level of what we have. You know, we haven't seen with the Rangers since the heyday of Sean Avery, and maybe even before that, the heyday of Ty Domi. He's a special kind of attraction right now. And you know, for all the things that we say about Rempe and all the things we say about the Rangers, that fourth line of Rempe, Jimmy Vesey, Barclay Goodrow, if they play together and play as well as they did last night, that's the kind of supporting cast trio that we've seen with, like, the grind line in Detroit, and we saw in the crash line in New Jersey, the kind of, like, trio that can change the momentum in a game and give a team an absolutely incredible game from their bottom six. And Rempe's a big, big part of that right now.
I'm unfamiliar with this depth scoring thing that you speak of. Greg Wyshynski, always appreciate checking his work. Also, to ESPN.com. Thanks for joining the show.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.